You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 5th of March, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RushJournal.org and the Barnes Review. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, I just paid my electric bill and I got a call from them saying how shocked they were that they weren't sure that I was still living here. It's been so long since I paid it. They were excited. You should have heard the tone of their voice. They couldn't believe it. The house was abandoned. I said, "Oh my God, you actually paid a bill." So I'm in a good mood today.
Well done, well done. That gives us a good chance to remind people to donate to you, Matt, and you live off your donations. All your research is funded by your listeners, and it also gives me a chance to say a big thank you to somebody who gave Radio Albion a very nice donation the other day. So whoever that was, I am very grateful for that, and it's gone to things that it needed to be spent on. So thank you very much for that. And also, I just remind other listeners, we do have overheads here. We do have to pay out costs for Radio Albion, and the only way that we've got to get donations is with the Bitcoin wallet, which you will find at the bottom of every page at RadioAlbion.com. Okay, well, yeah, today we're going to be looking at what's going on in Syria. Now, I've talked a little bit about this earlier in the week. These proxy warriors, there's quote-unquote refugees that Erdogan has let out of the prisons over there in Turkey. Thousands of them are storming the border, and this is apparently because Erdogan is upset with the European Union, although really it seems to me that he should be upset with Russia, because Russia killed 35 Turkish troops in Syria. So what we're going to be looking at today is just what is Erdogan doing? And am I right in setting the scene like this, Matt? This is what's happened. The Russians have killed these troops, these Turkish troops, and Erdogan's response has been to invade the European Union with these proxy warriors.
No, it's been the Syrian army as the one who's been clashing with Turkey, not Russia specifically. In fact, Erdogan has said that he has no problem with Russia. It's the Syrian government, and maybe that they should back off and let Turkey and Syria fight it out. So that, as far as the most recent clashes, Russian infantry have had nothing to do with it. It's been Syria versus Turkey, although I think the Turkish estimates are very, very high as far as the Syrian losses is concerned. They're pretty bad when it comes to reporting casualties.
Okay, I thought that Russia was involved with this airstrike that actually took out these Turks. Maybe it was just Syria. I sort of kind of assumed that when we hear about airstrikes, that it's Russia that's involved, because I didn't imagine that the Syrian military was up to much after years in this war. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was Assad that took out these troops. But anyway, we're going to look first at a report from the BRICS news agency. They say Putin has caused havoc in NATO by giving Turkey the confidence to act in its own interests, despite Erdogan's own imperial ambitions. This sense of self-confidence in Turkey has allowed the country to pursue its neo-Ottoman dreams that has antagonized all of its neighbors, the European Union, NATO, and all regional states, with the exception of Qatar, which unironically was one of the last countries to get independence from the Ottoman Empire. By instilling a self-confidence in Turkey, a confidence that pushes for an ambition that it cannot meet, Putin turned Erdogan into an ally and a friend. Now, this confused me a little bit here, Matt. How can Putin be encouraging Erdogan when, on the face of it, Erdogan is fighting against Russian interests in Syria? Hasn't this backfired a little bit on Putin?
Yeah, well, that's what it means. This BRICS article is a translation. it's, I think this is as poorly stated in this case. The argument is that over the last, well, since 2015, Putin has been supporting Turkey, and Turkey's been moving more towards Russia and China and military parts and things like that. And, but what that's done is take a rather unstable guy, like Erdogan, and gave him more confidence than he could actually – he bit off more than he can chew, being involved in Libya, being involved in even Western China. And Erdogan thinks that he can play the West off against the Russians like the Third World used to do during the Cold War. And but given the weak economy, he can't do that. So using the phrase bit off way more than he can chew is probably correct here. But and don't forget, as far as the Syrian army is concerned, they're a battle hardened force. They're a loyal force. They have very high morale, and they're easily, even though Turkey is much, much larger, they have so many internal problems, and Erdogan has purged so many upper and mid-level officers that there's still quite a bit of chaos in the Turkish military. I mean, Syria has more tanks, and they're a match in the air as well. And I just don't know the relationship between Syria, I mean, between Turkey and NATO anymore. I don't think they trust them. So this going back and forth is doing nothing but damaging Turkish interests.
Turkey's Libya gambit has once again shown that it is isolated, finding no support from any interested party in the conflict, at a time when Turkey is becoming increasingly isolated but still confident in its relations with Russia. Moscow condemned Turkey's decision to increase its military assistance to the Tripoli government. So that's what's going on in Libya. Despite the increasing isolation and memories of the crippling Russian sanctions on Turkey in 2015, Erdogan appears to be frustrated and lashed out against Moscow yesterday, saying, "Currently, Russia is not abiding by Astana or Sochi. If we are loyal partners with Russia on this, they have to put forth their stance. Our wish is that Russia immediately makes the necessary warnings to the Syrian regime, which it sees as a friend. The Astana process has fallen into silence now. We need to look at what Turkey, Russia, and Iran can do to revive the Astana process." It certainly cannot be denied that Erdogan is frustrated and is now falsely claiming that Russia is not adhering to the deals made in Astana and Sochi. This once again shows Turkey's complete defence and apology for terrorist organisations operating in Syria, which is unsurprising since it was Russia who revealed and destroyed the lucrative ISIS-Turkey oil trade back in 2015. So what is Erdogan talking about here, Matt? First off, what is he talking about? What was happening in Libya? What's he referring to there? And secondly, what are these two peace agreements that apparently Turkey is now saying Russia has gone back on?
Yeah, sorry about that. In the Libyan cases where Turkey is supporting an Islamic, you know, government that the U.S. helped install. You know, Russia, of course, was always pro Gaddafi. The Astana agreement doesn't exist. That's an ongoing process. The one he's really talking about is the Sochi agreement, which creates a buffer zone in northern Syria, which is patrolled both by Syria and Russia. The Kurds have to withdraw. And then there's a Russian-Turkish patrol in Kurdish areas. Then the Syrian government has to construct 15 border posts on the Turkish-Syrian border. And then, importantly, the parties have to resettle Syrian refugees in a safe area, not Europe, but somewhere near their homes. Then finally, it has to preserve the political unity of Syria as well as protect the national security of Turkey. That's a lot of things, and that's very, very hard to maintain. That's what the Sochi agreement is. Whether or not it's enforceable is another matter. So if anyone has violated it, it's Turkey. They've invaded Syria. And then they wonder why they're getting shot at.
Well, they were also supposed to separate the terrorists from the moderate opposition, which they haven't done. They've embedded themselves with them. They were supposed to guarantee that the terrorists wouldn't fire on the Syrian troops, and they were supposed to secure a major highway that went to Damascus, which they failed to do as well. I mean, this is what Russia is alleging. Turkey has failed in all these in all these issues. So they're both bickering amongst one another, aren't they, really? Russia and Turkey blaming each other for this. And I think it would have, you know, it wouldn't really have flared up if Trump hadn't intervened. And he hasn't officially intervened, but it does seem as if he said something to Erdogan. We've got a report here on RT. US Special Representative for Syria Engagement James Jeffries said, "Turkey is a NATO ally. We have a very, very big foreign military sales program. Much of the Turkish military uses American equipment. We will make sure that the equipment is ready." This idea, Jeffrey noted, came from President Trump himself. His comment appears to be a byproduct of the total breakdown in interagency policy coordination within the Trump administration. The unwillingness and/or inability to produce coordinated policy comes at a time when the principal body responsible for such actions, the National Security Council, is undergoing what amounts to a purge of professional staff, especially veteran holdovers from the previous administration of Barack Obama. Policy made in a vacuum is highly susceptible to influence by suggestion, especially when such a suggestion is made by the president. The Idlib crisis has prompted a Turkish request for military assistance in the form of two Patriot surface-to-air missile batteries, which would be deployed on Turkey's border with Syria and used to help enforce a no-fly zone designed to keep both Syrian and Russian aircraft from carrying out bombing missions over Idlib province. The last time Turkey asked the US to provide Patriot missiles during the Obama administration, Washington balked, leading Ankara to acquire advanced S-400 surface-to-air missiles from Russia. Turkey's acquisition of the S-400 sent its relationship with both the US and NATO into a tailspin, leading to the cancellation of Turkey's participation in the F-35 program and a related re-evaluation of its integration with NATO, especially when it comes to air defense. So what are they saying here, Matt? Could we see the S-400 up against the Patriot surface-to-air missile batteries, do you think? What's going on here?
I don't blame anyone if they read this that they're more confused about the situation than when they started reading this. First of all, Turkey has its own NATO-approved military supply factories. They don't need ammunition from anybody. Since that statement was made, James Jeffrey has withdrawn it, saying that, well, he's really talking about humanitarian. It was a stupid comment. The next comment is breakdown in interagency policy coordination. One thing people realize, the extreme chaos of the American military establishment. George Bush purged the Pentagon the last year of his final term. Obama did the exact same thing, retiring about 300 major admirals and generals, even a few colonels, and making matters worse, so has Turkey. After the coup, was it 2015 or 16, he purged a huge number of his upper mid-level officers. So as far as all that's concerned, their militaries and security establishments are in pure chaos. Turkey was promoting people who were loyal to Erdogan but not necessarily experienced. The only military establishment that's extremely stable is Syria, and to a great extent, Russia. Syria had the second largest military in NATO, but so many of those guys have been retired and thrown in jail and exiled and everything else. It's not what it used to be. The Turks struggled to deal with the Kurds for decades now. But, you know, these surface-to-air missiles, the military can't just go back and forth. They have to use one or the other. And I don't know if these are more symbolic. Who's going to supply missiles means that they're going to be supported by that group. You can't use both at the same time. I doubt that really either side at this point is going to want to give anything of value so long as Turkey is being run by this man, militarily run by this man. I don't know how many officers in the Turkish army trust this guy. And I guarantee you that the S-400s have a kill switch. They're not going to sell them that stuff without having a fail-safe mechanism. I don't know quite how it works in that respect. But this going back and forth on top of already existing military chaos, this is a disaster. The U.S. military is in pure chaos, as my readers and listeners know, and Turkey is just as bad. So I don't care about, you know, how many infantry they have, how many planes they have. these are not functional defense systems right now.
I'll just confirm that you meant Turkey there is the second biggest military in NATO, not Syria. Well, something that's, you know, confusing me a little bit here, Matt. I mean, so Turkey has got S-400s, which were designed by Russia, and they're going to use them against Russia's ally, Syria? Of course they're not going to function. But, you know, anything that, you know, Turkey buys from America, that's not likely to function against America and its allies either. That's just the way things are. Erdogan is crazy to think that he can get away with attacking Syria when it's allied with Russia. Well, let's have a look at what the state of play is in Russia. Assad's army has suffered significant losses during the conflict. Hundreds of troops have been killed or wounded, but that's just according to the West. Assad's allies have also been affected, including Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, who lost 43 soldiers in an attack on an observation post. There have been losses in Hezbollah's units as well, even though they haven't engaged in any frontline combat. I'll just interject there and say I should imagine Israel has been responsible for taking out a lot of Hezbollah and Iran and Syria, because they just keep going in there and bombing things. They hid behind a civilian aircraft just last night. And you know, even if they don't manage to hit anything, if that civilian aircraft is hit by the missile defense, then Syria is going to get the blame for that. It's a very dirty war that Israel is engaged in. It's not even a war. It's just dirty tricks on their neighbor. Jihadist forces have also suffered major losses. In the last 3 months, their contingent has shrunk by more than half to around 12 to 13,000 fighters. Not all of the losses were the result of deaths and injuries. Most of the militants simply ran off. The crucial point is that there are no reinforcements and the numbers keep falling. The terrorists have also lost some of their most experienced fighters and well-trained units. The situation along the line of contact has reached a precarious balance. If Assad's troops proceeded with their offensive, Turkish artillery and multiple rocket launchers would immediately start firing back and would support counter-offensives by jihadi militants. Turkey has already started supplying jihadist formations with fairly modern weapons and equipment, including US-made armoured personnel carriers, anti-tank missile systems, and man-portable air defence systems, manpads. So even though the jihadis, you know, they've lost half their number there, they're being bolstered by Turkish fighters. I mean, this is why these Turkish soldiers lost their lives, is because they're fighting alongside the terrorists. You know, these banned organizations, banned by the UN as being Islamic terrorists, and here is Erdogan's soldiers fighting alongside them. This is madness, Matt.
Well, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time. Turkey now is fully admitting that he is supporting, you know, Al-Qaeda and you know, whatever these real groups actually are on the ground here, whatever their actual name is. The whole notion of this moderate opposition was a creation of John McCain. There is no such thing. Moderates normally don't pick up weapons. That's what a moderate is. Turkey is fully admitting, and with, you know, the U.S. saying we support them, this is now a full open admission that these groups are being supported by the West. The fact that Iran lost 43 men adds a whole new layer to this now. Now Iranians are being killed by Turkish forces. That's a huge problem. I think the jihadis have lost far more men than this, and I think there's a lot of regulars from other countries that are coming in. They don't wear uniforms, so that means they have no human rights protections under the rules of war. And if they're actually being merged with Turkish units, now you have a completely different problem. Syria doesn't have to follow the rules of war in this case if they don't wear uniforms. And of course, Hezbollah, who has an excellent military record, all battle-hardened soldiers supported by the Iranians, are now heavily involved in this. But since this article was written, the Syrians have brought up their missile systems, their Russian-made missile systems, and have been able to match the Turks in every respect. They used to be the largest military in the Middle East after Turkey. Syria is not to be counted out. They have a lot of Russian advisors. They have a high-tech military system. They're definitely a match for Turkey. The problem is transport. They have to bring some of this stuff up from other parts of the country, and which they've already done. And this is part of the reason why Erdogan and Putin, as of right this minute, are talking this out. So I have the feeling this is going to end very soon. Turkey doesn't have the economic foundation to have a war of any kind of attrition for any length of time. But the most significant thing here is that Turkey is admitting this, you know, the terrorists in this area, which the U.S. is supposed to be fighting, are now being integrated with NATO armies. This is a huge blatant admission by the Turks here.
Well, I should also imagine that that's the reason why Turkey doesn't want that highway to be opened up, because it means that the Syrian troops will be able to travel along it and wheel out all their anti-aircraft missile systems that they can't do if the highway can't be used, because it's got IEDs and jihadis along the way bombing anything that travels along it. So that explains why Erdogan doesn't want to have this, hasn't kept up his part of the bargain of opening that highway. We got more evidence of Turkey merging with the jihadis here as well. Turkey has allowed its observation posts, established under a 2018 deal with Moscow, to virtually merge with terrorist bases in Idlib, Russia's defense ministry said, amidst a Turkish assault against advancing Syrian forces. The fortified areas of the terrorists have merged with the Turkish observation posts deployed under the 2018 Sochi agreement, Russian Defense Ministry spokesman Major General Igor Konoshenkov said early on Wednesday. At a click of the finger, all of Idlib's terrorists became supposedly the representatives of the moderate opposition in the Western media. However, it is not clear how the ISIS chief al-Baghdadi was recently pinpointed and killed, according to the US, amidst all these moderates. So, I mean, what they're saying there is that the very people that were sheltering al-Baghdadi are now the ones that are being put across as being moderates and allied with Turkey. Is that what this Baghdadi reference is about, Matt?
Yeah, don't forget, every article that you read in an American newspaper comes from journalists that are either actually in America and have no connection with what's going on over there, or embedded in American military units. So that means their articles are being censored before they even leave, before they even get emailed to the U.S. You notice that ISIS isn't being mentioned here anymore. And of course, no one really believes that al-Baghdadi was killed. You know, every 6 months or so, there was an article saying that he was killed. The Russians say that there was no American activity in that area at the time he was allegedly killed, and of course he gets dumped overboard in a ship, just like Osama bin Laden was allegedly dumped overboard. So these people aren't even trying anymore. But it just shows you that, you know, whatever the U.S. needs the press to say, they'll say. There is no moderate group over there. Moderates don't form militia organizations. And if there's any group that knows what's happening, it's Russia's defense ministry. And here they are saying that these groups and the Turkish military are now merging. Now, I don't know how that actually works on the ground. I don't know how that works in day-to-day, you know, military operations. But it shows you that they're using the same equipment. They couldn't merge unless they were using the same type of equipment, and, you know, they're standardized, the spare parts can go back and forth. This is extremely dangerous for Turkey to do. And hopefully when the talks with Putin are over in a little while, that's going to be ended. I don't even think that's in Turkish interests anymore to use these people. They're irregular forces, and actual Turkish soldiers on the ground don't appreciate being put on the same level as irregular terrorist forces. That also means that Turkish troops are now targets, no different than any jihadi would be. This is a disaster for Turkey, and I'm hoping that Putin talks Erdogan out of this here as we're talking right now.
As you were just mentioning there about these journalists that are embedded, the actual official Syrian Twitter account, that was removed, wasn't it, a while back? So we can't actually see what the official reports are coming from Syria. They're trying to censor that from us, so we can't actually see what Syrians have to say about things anymore. Turkish soldiers embedded with terrorists are then hit with airstrikes. Ankara, which backs anti-government militants in Idlib, said it lost 34 troops during Syrian government airstrikes. This prompted a heavy-handed response by the Turkish military, declaring all Syrian army units legitimate targets. Moscow said Turkish personnel were embedded with the terrorists that were targeted by Damascus, and stated that their commanders failed to properly notify Russia about their troop movements. As the crisis worsened, Erdogan said in his weekend speech that he had urged Putin to get out of the way and leave his troops face to face with the regime. He claimed that fighting against Assad was necessary to prevent a humanitarian disaster in Idlib, leading to millions of migrants sneaking into Turkey. This Monday, Erdogan confirmed that Ankara will not close its borders so the migrants can continue on into Europe. There will not be a single step back on this, Erdogan promised. It is done. The doors are open now. You are going to have your share of this load right now. But he's causing the load. And Assad just wants to get rid of the last of the terrorists so that he controls the whole country once again. And as soon as that's done, the refugees can come back. All the while Erdogan is preventing that and trying to start a war, there's going to be more and more refugees. So obviously that is not the truth, what Erdogan is saying here. He's not trying to prevent a humanitarian disaster. That's the Western narrative, surely.
Can you imagine having the gall to say that, you know, I've invaded this part of the world for the sake of saving lives? You know, it's true that this part of Syria is mixed racially, mixed ethnically. They look more to Islamic movements, but that's because the Syrian citizens have been chased out a long time ago. But as far as refugees are concerned, I mean, how many could there be in that area? The war in that area has been going on for a long time. Sure, it's been greatly depopulated by now. Who are these millions? Where are they coming from? And I don't like the idea that the press seems to think that Turkey is in charge of this. We know who's really in charge of this. These are being mobilized. The guys that are coming into Greece, as we've been talking about, these are all males, all what, between 20 and 35, as far as I can see. And it's up to Greece and the countries of Southern Europe to close their borders. It doesn't really matter what Turkey does. But to weaponize these guys is to admit that these migrants have all kinds of militant forces within them. I mean, we've known that for a long time. But I also like the idea that it's now becoming a mainstream concept that these migrants are, in fact, weapons that are being used by those who hate Europe, hate Russia, and want to use demographics to destroy a group or a race of people that they hate. So this is now becoming fully – this is all being admitted in public, and it's now becoming mainstream knowledge. So as always, everything that we've been talking about for the last, 3 years is absolutely correct in every respect.
Yeah, it's starting to get discussed in the mainstream now. The Turkish troops have actually been arming the so-called refugees. There's gas canisters, gas grenades have been found that have got Turkish writing on them. And just to refer back to what you were saying about Idlib there, the terrorists there wouldn't let any civilians leave. So it can't be refugees fleeing from Idlib because the terrorists won't let them leave. They're using them as human shields. While threatening Damascus with further attacks, Erdogan made an appeal to Moscow and Tehran, which have been supporting President Bashar al-Assad in his fight against terrorism. "I call once again to Russia and Iran," the Turkish leader said. "We have no problem with you. We are struggling to solve the humanitarian crisis caused by millions of people heading to our country from Syria and to ensure the security of our lands." And again, just to finally point out, I mean, if you actually look at these refugees that are flooding into Greece and on the border there, I can't recall seeing any Syrian ones there. Most of them have got black faces. And they don't have black Africans in Syria. They're very light-skinned Arabs. Some of them you can't tell the difference between Europeans. But they're certainly not as dark-skinned as the majority of the ones that are trying to break into Greece now are. What do you make of this bit, Matt?
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. But he's talking about millions. Well, this refugee issue has been going on for at least 3 years. I mean, how many more could there be? How many of these guys are retreating jihadi forces leaving the country? And the terrorist groups that have been fighting the Syrian army come from all over the world, all over Africa and parts of Asia, even Southern Europe. Unlike the Syrian army, which is actually just Syrian. And the fact here that he says that we have no – this isn't against Russia. This isn't against Iran. We have no problem with you. We want to deal with this issue. But the issue that he's talking about is completely made up. There's no humanitarian crisis except for the one that he's created. So as far as any of these peace agreements are concerned, Turkey is the one who violated them. I don't think these were going to be enforced anyway. I think it's too difficult to enforce. But again, I'll note that ISIS isn't being mentioned anymore. And I don't know what that means in the long term, talking about some humanitarian crisis, well, Turkey has created it. And if Turkish military is being merged with these jihadi groups, that means the Syrian army has every right to attack them. And if Turkish troops get killed, they get killed. There was a fistfight on the in the Turkish parliament just a few hours ago over this issue, that Erdogan is putting Turkish soldiers in harm's way by having them fight in the same side as these jihadis, in the same trench, in the same fortress, in the same area. And they're now a part of Turkish strategy. So you have Turkish lawmakers all over the place that are fighting each other, and military men who can't stand this idea. So more chaos is being introduced to the Turkish military and security establishment.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, them brawling in the parliament like they do in the South African parliament. Well, finally, Matt, you've outlined some economic reasons for why Erdogan is really doing this. Do you want to go quickly go into these economic reasons before we finish?
Yeah, whenever you talk about, you know, Turkey going back and forth between Russia and the U.S., you're talking about what is a very weak economy, trying to figure out who's going to cut them the best deal. And the economics is the foundation here. The Turkish economy can't handle this. The Turkish debt is extremely high. And the Turkish Central Bank, which, by the way, is under Erdogan's control, keeps us pouring money to support the lira or the Turkish currency. And what he's trying to do is throw out foreign investors, eliminate any interest in foreign currencies, which in and of itself is okay. But the U.S. is being nice to Turkey all of a sudden because it can't have its investments chased out or new laws that push the dollar out of here. Turkey is actually threatening to de-dollarize even more than it already has. There were sanctions on Turkey for a short time over the missile purchase. And the fact is that the Turkish currency can't handle it. The only time you had any kind of recovery in Turkey was when the war stopped, was the war ended. And the Turkish Central Bank is pouring money to support Turkish-owned assets. In other words, they're essentially bailing Turkish companies out, and it can't be done. They have no reserves. They have a huge trade deficit, and they trade pretty much on equal terms with Russia and the U.S., and they really need to find out who's going to schedule this debt in such a way that the interest rates will be lowest. He's pursuing a nationalist economic policy, which is all right, except that most of the debt is denominated in non-Turkish currencies. So he realizes this is a huge problem. They can't keep bailing out the lira forever. Inflation is going to explode. Interest rates are going to explode. And this is one of the reasons that this war is a disaster for Turkey, because they simply don't have the resources to keep this up. The longer the war goes on, the worse the economy is going to get. And that has a lot to do with why Turkey is kind of moving to the U.S., moving to Russia, moving to the U.S., moving to Russia. He's trying to see where this debt can be handled the best. Who even will forgive it?
Right. So, he can't keep this up, basically, can he, without crashing the economy? The nationalist economics are a great thing, but you can't waste them all on going and attacking your neighbour. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.